Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Nellie Mackay, and I'm a buffoon.
A buffoon?
Yeah.
Now, is buffoonery in Webster's?
I'm not even sure what the actual definition of buffoonery would be.
I think Monty Python was buffoonery.
Oh, okay.
Are you willing to buy that? You willing to represent buffoonery to the world?
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between, you know, buffoonery proper, you know, might be that man who calls himself the president, and then like conscious buffoonery.
I was hoping you'd wait at least 60 seconds to go there.
No, but wait,
that's question number. I ask you about that song. I can question number 17 here.
But you know how it takes a very smart person to play someone stupid, whether they're an actor or
on a daily basis.
You
yes,
know, yes, or on a daily basis. So. I think there just should be a delineation between conscious buffoonery and
unconscious buffoonery.
Yeah.
Can you say that five times fast? Unconscious buffoonery. It is really boring to open up an interview with the history thing. It's just so boring. So could you make up, and now that we're talking about buffoonery, you see how it works? Could you make up a completely false version of the whole born in London, graduating college at the age of 3, getting signed at the age of 4? Can you make up a completely ridiculous version of that? So that way, you know, people can just read the damn history that, you know, you graduated college at the age of 6, or was it 3, and then, you know, went on from there?
Yes, I was born in Kenya, and I was raised in Panama, and I originally studied square dancing, and when that didn't work out, I took up biology, and I got kicked out of my university for protesting the vivisection and the dissection, and
You're getting a little close to the real you on that one.
Well, right, okay. Well, but after I got thrown out, I went into electronics repair, which is a burgeoning field because so many. People have computers nowadays, and so I really should have stuck with that. Were it not for I was fixing a piano, and I got electrocuted by the piano, and I got turned into a kind of superwoman. But my superpower was that I could fake proficiency in the music business, and so in order to fulfill my destiny and achieve nirvana. I don't know what I'm talking about. I have to fake it for 5 years. So my time is almost up, because my first record was released in 2004. So in February 2009, I'll be free to go back to what I really wanted to do in the first place, which was square dancing. Now my leg is mended.
But can you repair a toaster oven and square dance at the same time?
Of course, yes. And
because that's when you'll achieve true nirvana.
True nirvana.
Not
and,
until then.
Yeah. No, and perhaps true celebrity, because then I could go on America's Got Talent and I could, you know, be on TV again.
But are you tired, he said, getting serious for about 12 seconds, of, you know, the whole, she was a wunderkind at 16 and graduated college way before she ever had a right to, and got signed, you know, to a major label and all of that, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel now that it's X amount of years later that it's time to put all that to bed?
Oh, well, I'm afraid you never put anything to bed. I mean, I certainly meant, you know, life goes past it, but I mean.
I mean, do you think when you're 60, they're still going to be, you know, talking about, you know, 44 years ago when you know.
Oh, yes, and how frustrating it must be for those people. I mean, and then they're going to talk about, you know, my glory days when I sold 2 records as opposed to 0, you know.
You've had quite a wild ride with them record company people. You stuck to your guns on your second double album. You released it through a record company that failed. You then had the same big company that failed you by not wanting to release. See, I can actually make this into a sentence. You know, didn't release your second double album because they wanted to turn it down to, you know, 32 minutes or whatever it was. Then they finally released the CD anyway, and then you finally formed your own label. And why the heck do you think it's so complicated to put out a record these days?
I would just say that, you know, in desperate times, you know, that's when people get scared. You know, they get very punitive. And I think that applies to the record industry too. I mean, you know, the whole thing, it, like the biography, when you say I graduated college, well, I mean, actually, I dropped out, you know. And then, you know, I signed with a major record label. Well, actually, at this point, it's waning. I mean, they're all dinosaurs at this point, the majors. So, you know, everything, it starts to, it's like looking at the reverse negative of a picture, you know, everything. It turns a little slightly when you look at it. But, I just think they were all very scared of their jobs. And what they need to do in order to save the record industry would be to adapt and would be to be genuinely creative. And I think particularly the majors really get stuck in a rut. And there's a lot of individual ego. And it's frustrating.
I cannot tell you how many artists and bands I've had in here. And this started about, 2 years ago, that the story's exactly the same. We were signed to Big Label X. Our A&R person left the label. B, C, we don't own our masters of our albums or our publishing. But in the end, you've kind of won the war because this thing has been getting, you know, I mean, it got an A in Entertainment Weekly, and they don't mess around.
Well, I have more freedom creatively. Unfortunately, there's much less of my own spark that's going on, which is, you know, but I think that's just a problem wherever you are that happens. Is there an element perhaps of self-sabotage in my career? But yes, but for instance, if you look at someone like Katy Perry and how sweet her music and her videos were. I mean, just, you know, there's an innocence there. And how much I feel, you know, she's had to sell her soul in order to have this hit, you know, especially playing the Guy's Choice Awards and whatnot. But I see why she does it. She's huge, and she has that power and that forum. And if you care about politics, don't you want the biggest forum possible? I mean, I can't do a lot of those things that perhaps you have to do to be successful. Also, I don't work as hard. Amy works very hard. You know, Mariah Carey. I mean, all the big people, they work it, and I don't really like to work at all. So, you know, I mean, there's a reason you wind up where you are. But I've been very happy at Vanguard.
What made you choose the Poconos to record? Was there something in the Pennsylvania air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, if you're going to record, record in the Poconos.
The worst drivers in the world.
Well, you know, those Amish people, they get a little kind of, they're so busy thinking of their own version of Zen, pretty much.
Oh, well, and then they got the puppy mills. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's so hard to, you know, hold up any people as a, you know, a symbol of something, a simpler life you'd like to aspire to be, because there's always some skeleton.
I just want the outfits. I don't know. I think that just the Poconos, I think if we could just, like, all get the, it could be like the Devo of Pennsylvania, everybody wearing those outfits.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Now, unless I'm terribly mistaken, you're too young to have watched Schoolhouse Rock.
I mean,
when it was out, of course, but obviously you knew Bob from all his other legendary work that he's done in the music world.
Yeah, and he's written some beautiful, you know, I mean, I'm Coming Home, Baby. But working with him and Phil Woods and so many of the great players in the Poconos, I mean, I'd grown up with them and they'd helped me, you know, go on the musical path. So it was so nice to come back and work with them and get kind of yelled at least by Phil.
Yeah, you had some pretty. I read in an interview somewhere that you said that you were honored to be with them, but also a little scared.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, you want to. I'm not sure I did this. You know, you want to give them material that is on par with the people that are going to be playing it, and I'm afraid I don't think that happened. I think, but they elevated the, you know, what material I did bring to the table. And, you know, Bob Dorough, he's just a ray of sunshine. And Phil Woods, when, you know, we did two takes of his solo. And then we said, would you like to do another one? And he said, do you think I need to do another one? You know?
And you're like, no, sir. Really, it's okay, sir.
It's really okay. And then, of course, David Liebman is the master of the backhanded, you know, compliment. He says something like, yeah, you should really write for Broadway, you know, or and he you can tell he doesn't really like Broadway.
Here you are playing a big festival. it's not the first big festival you've played, but, you know, Radiohead, Tom Petty, it's, you know, but what's interesting about this festival is that they have purposely widened the genres and the kind of people who are playing. So the people who are there to see Radiohead or see, you know, some of these very, very definitive rock acts, you know, are also going to get educated to other music.
Right, right.
So do you think that when they included you in this festival, they had a purpose in mind?
No, I'm sure, you know, a bunch of people dropped out.
Do you get tired of people trying to categorize your music and not understanding, as you call it, schizophrenic voodoo? You know, isn't pop music just good enough? Isn't it just good enough that you're playing pop music? Isn't that okay? Because in the old days, and again, sounding as old as I am, my colleagues and I talk about this all the time. When we grew up in New York, we had WABC, and WABC used to have Motown next to the Stones, next to Led Zeppelin, next to the Archies, you know, next to some other crazy pop thing, and that was called Top 40 Radio, and it was next to disco, you know, next to Barry Manilow, and it was all allowed, and people call that rock and roll,
right.
You know, which is what I still do and what I still play on the radio, and people put up with it. But, you know, in your case, and that's why the awe factor comes in, and you're saying you're being, you know, using a lot of humility in saying it, but it's kind of like, do you feel like, you know, schizophrenic voodoo is that it's like you should have been born in another place in time, perhaps? Because in the old days, we didn't judge by genres.
Yeah, well, it was less, not only was it less controlled, I mean, obviously you didn't have the conglomerates and, you know, it was easier to just get on the radio. It was easier to go door to door or just by flogging, you know, by touring a record and really promoting yourself, you could get out there. But also, you know, prior to rock and roll, I mean, music was aimed at adults and then it came down, you know, to the younger people. And once that you know, the youth quake started, it just seems like it's, you know, you have to be huge to write music that isn't aimed at the teeny boppers.
But you are a young person. It's not like you're 65 years old doing this. So you are part of the youth quake. Wouldn't you think that some of the other youths somewhere in this wouldn't just be served up the same, you know?
The youngsters.
The other kids, them kids. Don't you think some of them other kids are like you too, you know? Where are them kids?
Yeah, no, well, and what I'm always intrigued by at pop radio is how much you have to get past to get into it. I mean, there's so much that just... It immediately seems cheap and cheesy and sleazy and
other things
unlikable.
Easy.
Yeah, you know, and then you can find it catchy. And I know that there's stuff to get past, say, in my music too. But I think, you know, there are certain pop songs. I don't know, say like Rob Thomas's "I Don't Want to Be Lonely No More" or you know, Rehab, you know, Amy Winehouse. That they just grab you, you know, and that they are easy. But you know that pop thing, I understand that, you know. But so many of them, I feel they're dense. I don't feel they're terribly catchy. They're just overproduced, you know, offensive garble, you know. Well, certainly the next album, I mean, I just keep trying. I want to be the most accessible. I don't want to not be afraid of repetition and simplicity, because I think those, you know, can definitely be virtues. And I mean, I think that's the highest thing, is to get it down to its essence. And
but the great, you know, even the great rock and roll songs, whether it's Stax or Motown, it had repetition. But the one thing it had is it had the riff. You know, it had the thing. And when you describe, and again, I'm not going to tell you my personal opinion one way or another on, say, that Rehab song you mentioned, but I'm not really sure that repeating "no, no, no" over and over again would classify as a fabulous riff. You know, but who's to say, right? Who's to say why something, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, there's also the content of things. I mean, like, you know, there's that song Tattoo that came out last year or so, and then, you know, there's I Kissed a Girl. There's certain things that they hit, and with Zombie,
we're gonna get to Zombie, yes, absolutely.
But you know, I mean, in writing a song called Zombie seemed to kind of you know, they seemed like they were part of popular culture. But somehow I didn't tap into whatever the zombie part of popular culture is. But those other things, they're representative. I don't know.
But I'll skip to that. But zombie, there are millions of versions of people on YouTube that are going crazy over that.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah, no, there are. Oh, when I did my research, there are people doing the whole zombie thing. You know, they've intercut stuff and all of that.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, you might be bigger than you think you are. So we do a thing called a musical sandwich, which I want you to take two of your songs as the bread, which we're going to do in session. And then I want you to pick some music by anybody else in between that you want to hear with your music. And I will play it exactly as you ask me to play it.
Oh, that's great.